And
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Mater Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
This is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Choosing a secondary school can be a very difficult decision. Parents agonise over whether or not it should be co-ed, should it be single sex, if they have the money, should it be private, should it be the local school, if there's two choices, which one should it be boarding? The list goes on and on and on. Joining me to help parents navigate through these considerations are Dr. Colman Nocton, who is, of course, child psychotherapist and Irish Examiner columnist, and Jennifer Horgan, who is secondary school teacher and author of O Captain, My Captain, One Teacher's Hope for Change in the Irish Education System. Dr. Colman Nocton, let me start with you. Talk to me about the myth of the right school.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think from the point of view, you always get asked, you know, is that a good school? And I often get this because, you know, you'd have young people coming to see me from various different schools. And I'd always say to someone, you know, it's not necessarily about the school. You could have the most, you know, highly taught of school in the community, but that particularly second year group could be particularly difficult. Or you could have maybe a school with not the greatest reputation, but that fourth year group have a lovely attitude to each other, so they're very good. So there's a lottery, even if you're going with all your research, you're always down to the classroom or the local year dynamic. But I think we have an idea of what we consider good schools to be, and I think there's probably an academic focus to that, where league tables and leaving cert results become kind of the definition of the good school or not, and I'm not so sure that that's the first thing we should be thinking about.
So what should we, if it's not academics, what is it?
I think I always remember somebody saying to me, pick the school to fit the child, don't make the child fit the school. So from the point of view, if you're a very academic child, I don't think you'd send them to a very sporty school. Or if you have a child who's maybe not that academic, you know, from a theoretical point of view, but might be very good with their hands or something. Some of the schools that allow them to do those kind of the woodwork, metalwork, kind of hands-on subjects would be something that you choose. Now, but as many people have come back to me since I've written this article as saying they don't really have the choice, or I've heard lots of stories of young people going to a school. Well, his brother went there, so it was just handier for the two of them to go. But what one school might suit one type of child, another child may really struggle in that area.
Could you make an argument, though, Colman, for the opposite, where you say, well, okay, the child is now 10 or 11 as we come up to the stage of planning for secondary school. She's brilliant at sport, but she's not academically great. Therefore, we should send her to a strong academic school to try to make up the deficit rather than play into already her strengths and weaknesses and confirm them.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think from the point of view, school is a scrutinizing space. It's not a supportive one. So from the point of view, young people and your peers will tend to highlight your deficits much more than they'll try and nurture your strengths. And so let's say a child who maybe has issues with dyslexia or dyscalculia or something goes into a very academic school. I don't see the culture putting its arm around that child and saying, look, come on, you could be as like, oh, sir, we'll help you or support you to do it. It tends to move on at a juggernaut pace. And again, you know, there is this issue that curriculum and league tables are really important. And to schools, you go to any open night and they'll highlight what level of leaving cert results they got last year and where they come in league table as a sales pitch for parents to opt in. And so I just think there's a much more rounded experience at school. And maybe I'm biased as a psychotherapist, but from the point of view, I'm always seeing a child who's not fitting in school, who's not able to keep a pace with, whether it's academically or sportingly, and is kind of being left behind. And I do think that the normative in schools is getting narrower and narrower. And I find that lots of children are kind of saying, well, if you're not in this school culture, you're out. And there doesn't seem to be the same level of subgroups that might have been there before. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be trying to kind of send a child to a school where maybe their deficits are in the hope that the school would be the answer to the problem.
Well, taking on your point earlier about the micro stuff, the nature of that one class or that one year often being more important than the school itself, are there any big macro principles? So if you look at the choices that most parents have, if they have the money, they'll have the choice of, do we go private or do we go local? There'll be the choice, again, if they have the availability, of mixed or single sex. and there'll be the choice of something like boarding school or non-boarding. Across those three, are there rules of thumb?
I think there's a lot of urban myths around it, you know, in terms of private school equals a better educational experience, and therefore you're kind of paying for that guarantee of leaving cert results. That's not necessarily the case. There's an urban myth that boys do better in mixed schools than girls do. That might be the case in some cases, but it's down to the individual child, to be honest, in that one. The boarding school issue, not a fan of it myself, but you know, lots of people have. And this is another thing, the kind of legacy of, well, I went to that school and you have to go there too, or there's a family legacy that we all went to this school and your uncle went there and your cousins went there, and you know, we're all going to follow through on that. So there is an academic perhaps snobbery around that, that is about, you know, you must follow through on this, whereas the suitability of the actual child might be completely different.
Dr. Colman Nochter, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Colman Nochter there, psychotherapist and Irish Examiner columnist. We're joined as well by Jennifer Horgan, who is a secondary school teacher and author of O Captain, My Captain, One Teacher's Hope for Change in the Irish Education System. And I suspect, Jennifer, people listening to Colman speak will say they may agree with a lot of the underlying points that he's making, but is choice that readily available for most parents?
Well, I don't think so, Anton. I think I'm actually really struck there listening to Colman when he says that school cultures are getting narrower and narrower. And I think he's right. You know, I think that there's a huge range of types of schools in a very small country. And I think we should be really questioning that. I think we should think about the social consequences of that. You know, separating kids out at such a young age. Two things strike me particularly are the fact that we our single-sex schooling. You know, it's really unusual internationally to have so many single-sex schools, and that really cuts down choice for children. For instance, in boys-only schools, only 11% of boys-only schools get to study home ec. Then you have the opposite in girls-only schools. You have a very, very low percentage of schools. I think it's 14% of all girls' schools will offer things like tech graphs or metalwork or woodwork. So we've less than 5% of apprentices are women. So the choice students end up having in these schools is actually very limited.
And presumably as well there is an issue to do with the experience, because diversity is not the same as acceptance. The thinking behind diversity is that it is beneficial for people of different lifestyles, different outlooks, different attitudes, different experiences to all be blended together. Yet we decide, not till you're 18.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel really strongly about this. And again, coming back to the single sex, it means that we're talking about things like sex and consent in single sex environments. And we know we have a problem in Ireland. You know, in our universities, 1 in 3 third level students report being sexually assaulted. I teach in a mixed school. I have taught in mixed schools. And it is so powerful to be in a room with boys and girls talking about sex and consent, where they're looking at each other and they're seeing each other as humans, you know. And I really think we need to consider why it is that we're separating them based on biological sex. The other issue I really have is around ability. And I think Colman is absolutely right that there is a myth of private education, you know, getting high points. But what that means is we have schools that are academic, you know, in inverted commas, like and then we have our non-academic schools. What that means is we don't have a provision for children with additional needs. There was a great article in The Examiner last year, and it highlighted how in Dublin we have 130 secondary schools. Only 23 of those are welcoming to autistic children. Only 2 of those schools are in our non-DESH schools.
And the implications of that being that what? That the wealthier the school is, the less welcoming it is?
Absolutely. Because it's an academic school. So those schools don't want to have what we call non-academic children.
And briefly,
so what
Jennifer,
we're doing then socially.
What's your take on the thing of the gender mixing from your own experience as a teacher? Because the thing that tends to be a justification for it is a sense that one gender or the other will suffer by virtue of being mixed. Is that your experience?
Absolutely not. Like not in as a teacher, no. I couldn't disagree more. I mean, there's some research that claims that girls do slightly better academically if they're in a single sex environment. But, you know, it's slight. And I suppose as Coleman is saying, we shouldn't just focus on academics. We need to think about the social consequences. There's so much that these children learn from each other, you know, and to have people of the opposite sex as friends, you know, it's so powerful. I know, like, even as a student myself, I was in an all-girls school. And when I went into university, I was completely overwhelmed. You know, I couldn't talk to boys. They were other, you know, I was kind of, I was excited, of course I was, but I was terrified, you know. Whereas now I see my children, they're in a mixed school and they're just hanging out with their buddies. They don't even really, it seems to me anyway, and fair enough, they're up, you know, my eldest is 11. But it's just so natural. It's what we see out in our communities. Like, shouldn't we want schools that reflect the local community?
Indeed.
Well, a mix of a bit.
To say, if people have thoughts on this, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents, if you want to send in a text in relation to your own experience, or your own child's experience. Jennifer, thank you very much. That's Jennifer Horgan, who's a secondary school teacher and author of Oh Captain, My Captain.